Right now, it is time to bring in David Terachuk. It's time for the Media Beat. You can find David right here on a Friday morning. Also, you can find David at the Huffington Post. He is writing there. His own website, themediabeat.us. Also, he's a PBS television correspondent reporting on ethics and belief. Good morning, David.
Well, good morning to you from the media capital of the world.
You know, I play the monkeys this morning to kind of break
away. Yes, it was nice to be introduced by music from the monkeys, I must say. It's very touching. I mean, it's sad that Peter Tork should die, but it's an opportunity to remember, well, let's say a cultural phenomenon, certainly a media based creation.
That's exactly right. Most people don't realize that on TV, except for I think Mickey Dolenz, none of their voices and they didn't play the instrument. It was all overdubbed. They didn't start doing it themselves, so they went in concerts and stuff. But
yeah, they were pretty good young actors, but what they were not was musicians.
No,
they were not.
But you know, it's nice to break away from all the BS that's going on and just kind of remember us. They weren't simpler times at the time, but they were much more simpler than they are now.
Sure, it's interesting. They clearly were a blended effort in a direct copy of the Beatles, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's I don't know, it's a statement about the passage of time. There are only two monkeys left, just as there are only two Beatles left.
Pretty amazing. Well, anyway, we have a lot left, of course, in Washington, D.C. and around the world.
There's much to talk about. There's something from the media capital of the world that I felt I should report, just as, you know, it's another week, another bit of reporting that has to be done on presidential overreach. Well, guess what? Trump residents here in New York, his hometown, residents of another of those big Trump buildings on which he would emblazon a huge gold Trump logo. Well, the second one in quite just a few months now, both of them in the same part of town have decided, the residents have, to take that big gold Trump logo down.
And they probably have to pay extra for that, and they're probably
in the contract making it a punitive thing to do.
No, yes. Really, and for them to come up with the extra dough, it tells you even more.
Oh yeah, I think people would pay quite a lot of money to get rid of that name on their own building. Now, certainly, it was the case in Canada too a couple of years ago.
Well, that's always an interesting story. But you know, you look at what's going on with our government in Washington D.C. and really take a look around the rest of what we call our allies and everything like that. It's just a very confusing time. And then you look, which is even more important, and Joe and I have talked about this. The story's been beaten to death the wrong way. But this story out of Chicago, which affects so many different people, so many different ways. Because
people are so damn gullible.
And people are...
That's probably true. But if you start a false story, there's a strong likelihood that you'll get some people to believe you. Not that I'm saying that it's a false story. This matter is still...
It's still out there.
In the criminal justice process. But yes, a star member of the Empire TV series were initially reported being attacked with homophobic and
racial
and racist insults and physical action, and now that story is transmogrified into him being accused of faking the whole thing, and it's sad and creepy and horrible, and it's certainly raising tensions in Chicago, a city that doesn't seem to need much more tension, you would think.
But the tension that's really should be raised, in my view, and this is my view, is unless people start building in some time and patience and sense into their reporting, you can pretty much just throw the whole thing out.
But I can't.
The chance of such terrible sort of messes occurring will certainly be lessened. If reporters and publishers, editors in between, would just take that extra pause to check things out a bit more before publishing, then of course we would be saved an awful lot of heartache But as we've talked about on this spot many, many times, no one seems interested in building in a pause anymore. It's all rush, rush, rush. And in the immortal words of that genius of online communication, Mark Zuckerberg, a useful motto for their approach to life is to move fast and break things.
Well, oh, you mean the digital gangsters?
yes, exactly. Just move fast, and inevitably you will break things if you're moving too fast to check out the nature of the information that you're conveying.
Well, there's that. See, that's what I was going to say. I'm not going to totally blame this on the media, because the police released the information after, of course, it broke, and then, of course, it broke on the internet, and the internet goes wild. And unfortunately, a lot of news outlets now, because they don't have beat reporters, get stories off of the internet. And then one thing led to another, and this became one of those things that just snowballed down the hill, David. And you know what? The snowball
or up the hill. I like you.
No, it's come down the hill, and it's still.
No, what I mean is, I'm talking about politically. Like, why would any politician weigh in? Go on.
But it's crushing people as it still goes, and the story, as you said, David, is not over. That's the incredibly frustrating thing about this.
Well, the incredibly frustrating thing, just from a legal and a, you'll forgive me, cynical standpoint, is, as with so many other things, you have to wait for it. It's like watching an arsonist running around setting fires. All right? You have to wait for the thing to burn out so that people can use the existing structure to make an arrangement, make a deal. But it's just what happens is the ash, the unintended consequences of this happening each time is just making it really hard for the rest of us, in my view.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And it makes every story of perfectly real and perfectly unquestioned, because they're unquestionable, because they're true, events of racist and misogynist and homophobic attacks that are happening for real all over the country, or in many parts of the country, they're not going to be reported necessarily with due diligence and alacrity. The message from this story isn't, oh, let's not report what we suddenly hear, but the message is report this and find out about how true it is and what the real circumstances are before we publish. And the awful thing is, it will have a chilling effect on anybody wanting to do a story in this area anyway, in any circumstance, for some time at least.
And then the question becomes, because it has to play out online in tabloids, you know, at least there used to be some sort of delineation between tabloid and broadsheet. I shouldn't say it like that. There were affectionately known as rags.
Sensational and responsible, I think, is a better distinction.
Fine. But, sensational and responsible. But in responsible, you expected not to, I don't know, I always subscribe to a diet of responsible with a sensational chaser just to see what wasn't there or... You know,
sure.
We've
got
not.
To take a look at. Yeah, but I take your general point that everybody's racing against each other now. That's true.
But also the sense that because everyone is so deadened at this point. I mean, here, let's talk about Venezuela shutting its borders. Like, oh God, it's boring, God.
Yeah. Oh, sure. You can see that slide further down the priority.
Right, but you know, and if it does. If it does burble into the consciousness, it's like, oh, wow, yeah, Venezuela, oh, yeah, that's boring. And this has been going on for years, and this is bloody serious. I mean, years. Years. I mean, I can't even
think about it. And getting worse with every year.
It's so ghastly. And there are many other places, you know, not to be unfair, there are many other places and situations on this planet that are equally ghastly that... You'd think that this is not only idealistic, it is just upside down and sideways, so this wouldn't really happen. But can you imagine if the same energy and effort and attention that was focused on Chicago, just from an outside world, was focused on the horrors in Venezuela? Don't you think?
Or elsewhere. The other parts of Latin America where people are forced because of circumstances to become migrants it has a connection to us. Of course, it does. You know, it's not a crazy caravan that's invading us. But what we do have to take account of is what's happening in the rest of our continent and in the rest of our hemisphere. And you can then go on to Yemen and other hot spots around the world, which are, you know, as horrific as you're saying. But does the attention that Chicago story prompted ever going to be applied to anywhere overseas?
No.
Well, no. It's too expensive. People think it's not interesting enough because there is not a direct connection to the United States. That's a basic principle of American journalism anyway. You know, there's this slogan from many a newsroom, and it's intended in a well-meaning way, I think. Bring the story back home. That's the idea of having a foreign correspondent. But the point is there are very much fewer foreign correspondents around the world now, and bringing a story home is at the moment just a matter of, a lot of the time, just looking at the wires and see what remaining small number of stringers there are scattered around, and wire services just take their story, don't double and triple check it because you don't have the time, and just put it out as in whatever, you know, according to whatever range of priorities you have established. And of course, the range of priorities established will always favor something like Chicago.
Yeah, you know, I'm just thinking down the road. I was watching some business channel about 5 and 6G, mm-hmm. and how the next thing to go will be the screens. And so I'm thinking, okay, that's fine. We are going to have a generation that is absolutely, I mean, unless they are trained and unless people get on it, absolutely incapable of figuring out, pretty much unless they go to law school and see a piece of paper, incapable of discerning what the quality of the information.
What might be true and what might be fishy. Yeah. Yes, the instinct for the fishy is what's dying in this whole process. The instantaneous reaction of OMG kind of sums it up. That's worth publishing, it seems, in this new consciousness. OMG is, you know, just an exclamation of shock and horror or whatever it is. Is somehow elevated to a form of communication now, not the reaction, interesting, let's get to the bottom of this. That's the principle that I would like to see journalism still follow, but I may be baying at the moon now.
Right, but the thing is, you could bay away, but there's a certain responsibility somewhere, and you know, it may be that this particular... when you realize the landfill is already glowing in the dark, you know, perhaps it's time to move on to a. When I say move on, it's almost as though you've got to recreate. If you've got a brain and some social consciousness left, you've got to recreate. You've got to create something that lets people. And that doesn't just That doesn't mean standing there brooding that your information is better than the other guy's information.
Sure, no, there's no need to brood about it. There's calls for action, of course, and it's interesting to see the pendulum swinging to some degree, what are, you know, rather self-embarrassedly labeled long reads are now becoming a lot more popular amongst internet browsers.
Yeah, because people are realizing. I remember somebody telling me
short reads don't give you very much.
Somebody telling me 2 years ago that we needed to modify our site so that people could pick their own headlines. They are so lucky. They're so lucky that they escaped with their limbs intact. It's just. Oh, really? Oh, yes. People like to. I only like the new. And by the way, that reminds me of those ads because, you know, the skepticism, the fishiness that is part and parcel of any investigation, of any story. I think it's astonishing how many people read books and watch shows and whatnot that involve a fair amount of critical thinking. You know, the scripts include having to figure this stuff out, and yet that same thing is not transposed.
Not applied to real life. Yeah.
Not, but
what's being reported to us is real life, yes.
And I've always... You know, I've never thought, I've always loved doing crosswords. I've never attempted to construct one. And I've always loved those very things that I was referring to. But I'm always looking at the way that they're created to see if, you know, to see if I can crack it along the way.
Sure. And that mental agility that reading as a whole and serious reading encourages and indeed replicates itself constantly. If you exercise a muscle, it will get stronger. But if you only do that when you're reading mystery novels, if you even do that, and you don't apply those same skeptical, as you call them, tools to looking at what purports to be news coming at you online, then you're being dangerously inconsistent for your own mental health and your own capacity to operate as a citizen in the world, I think.
But when you look at, I'm going to just move this conversation a little bit different direction. When you look at what the media offers now, right now, to me, there's a couple of big stories. One, and the media are not covering this nearly enough, and that is what is going on in the Catholic Church. I mean, what is going on with the Pope and what is going on with the Catholic Church in regard to all these child molestation things? This is groundbreaking news. This is really unbelievable news that affects anybody who is a member of the Catholic faith. And that's a huge story also. And I don't know if you've watched this, David, but when Bernie Sanders first announced, the networks just threw him aside. And all of a sudden, 24 hours later, when he had raised $6 million and added 500,000 people, and 500,000 people that also have donated now, they've committed monthly to donate $27 a month. The man is raising between $12 and $20 million a month on top of what he raised. All of a sudden, they now take him as a candidate.
That yesterday I was really interested to see, what didn't you hear about yesterday?
Well, you didn't hear about Bernie Sanders because all you heard about was this Chicago story and the Mueller probe. I mean, that's all you heard about.
I didn't hear anything about Mueller.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All I heard about Mueller is he's going to deliver a report.
Its report is coming soon.
Coming
so
soon, right.
You know, it's so, like a movie trailer.
Coming soon, and it's going to the Attorney General.
And that's a story in itself.
Right.
Well, in a way it is, but it's certainly not of the order of the Pope's massive convocation of bishops from all over the world to deal with, or to try and deal with the child abuse horror in that universal church. And yes, the old man runs again. You can dismiss it as a story, but then look, what does that mean? That the old man runs again, and of course, almost instantaneously, and against all expectations, probably all newsrooms' expectations, certainly, accumulates a whole lot of money very, very quickly from lots of very small sources.
Because what that says is important
in itself, because of what that says. Yeah.
Exactly, and what that says is, oh my gosh, people, once again, you're missing the damn story.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like the Amazon second headquarters, a total
right.
contradiction in terms, of course, a second headquarters getting coming to grief in New York. It's a big story because people didn't realize it was a big story to begin with.
Right. And why didn't they realize it was a big story? The people tasked, excuse that word, with covering it. Didn't do it.
Well, that's a very classic example of the beat reporting that Marshall was referring to not being carried out because you don't have people on the beat anymore.
All right. Now, speaking of the beat and the media beat and moving across the pond for one second, I've just gotten, because I subscribe to these newsletters and it suddenly dawned on me that the newsletters are equally pointless because it's just words. So I had sent to somebody, I mean, this is a good newsletter, but still, it's a long read. I asked for a translation.
Yeah, you notice that so many of them now are putting not the number of words at the top, which probably wouldn't mean much to many people except the journalists who compile them. But they say this is a 6-minute read. Before you even start.
They do that.
I don't know if that's meant to entice you or put you off.
No, they do it on Facebook because people. And it's an old adage in radio when we used to submit air checks for jobs. Yeah, we were told no matter what you do, keep them 3.5 minutes short because a programmer's attention span is no longer than really 3 minutes. And unfortunately, this is what Joe points to in today's age where people go to Twitter and to Facebook, the actual time they will spend looking at a story is, I would probably consider for most people, 35 to 40 seconds.
You know, I cannot wait. Surprised at that much.
Yeah. I can't wait to crack open people's heads and look at their brains because I swear all of the.
Ooh.
Well, no. Later on, as a scientist, a paleontologist or something. But because I swear all of the. You know what a brain looks like. I swear it's just going to look like a shower cap with nubs on it. I swear. There's not going to be any. Anyhow, but what I wanted to say is what I wanted to get your read on going back to this little debacle called Brexit. And again, you have no idea.
What a vast story. Yeah.
It is so vast. And once again, you have no idea what people are actually thinking about it because you've got some reporting, well, they hate it and, well, they like it. And that tells a lot about the individuals. But what this person wrote to me is just what will happen on the 27th, that's next Wednesday, is still unclear. But there seems to be a growing consensus that matters will come to a head. May will not be able to kick the can yet further down the road as MPs realize it's decision time. I cannot see her getting any meaningful consensus.
March 29th has been in the calendar a long time.
But it's February.
The ultimate deadline.
Right. Yes. Uh-huh. And the 27th is some sort of something. But, again.
That's when the deal's meant to be brought back from Europe. And again, once again, considered by the British Parliament.
Yes, but my point is that once again, it'd be helpful if somebody other than you or my friend knew that. Or this newsletter.
Yeah, okay.
So the 27th should give some clarity, delay to leaving, or no deal, or second referendum, etc. Anyone who says they know what will transpire next week is lying.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's one of those stories that I think everybody has just become gradually and repeatedly aware is incapable of predictive analysis. It's perfectly possible that... Prime Minister May may be able to kick the can down the road a bit. Britain is now trying to ask the European Union for another 3 months to sort things out. Well, if I was the European Union, I'd say, well, come on, you've had 2 years and quite a bit ahead of that time to figure this out. and every effort to figure it out is just ending up in more and more political mayhem. We're not sure that we can't see how another 3 months would help you get it any better. We'll just have to see. It's one of those situations that is going to have to work itself out. And it's intriguing that it's working out in ways that are not very common in Britain. It's remarkable that both major parties, it's basically a two-party system, as it is in the United States, and there are people peeling off in Parliament itself, members of Parliament representing both the major parties, peeling off for their respective major party and forming what's now being called the independent group in the middle. Not a new party yet, but a new political formation. So that's extremely interesting. I mean, it may lead to a wholesale realignment of British politics. That's a risky thing to predict. It's amongst all the risky things that you should not try to predict. But it's very different from what's been happening so far.
Well, that and just imagine if the Chinese and American trade talks don't go well and Brexit all come to a head at once, what the world economy faces. We'll just wrap it up with that.
On that happy note.
A real happy note.
Well, I see that that's the job of a good media person. Make people so miserable that they can't leave the house.
There you go.
Keep watching the screen.
That's right.
We can terrify you even more.
Thank you very much, David Tereshchuk, the Media Beat.
Thank you.